Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Along with me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Sign up today. You can get college football. You can get the NFL, basketball, hockey, soccer, props, Jordan's picks, everything right there, FatJackSports.com. Jordan, it's time, as they say. I don't want to get sued. But it's time to preview the big one. The UFC 309 finally is here. John Jones finally returns to the cage. This should be a very good weekend. I say weekend because there is a big fight tonight as well that we're going to talk about.
Big combat sports weekend, although I joke that based on what's happening tonight, if you're listening to this on Friday with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, and then Saturday night, UFC 309, John Jones, Stipe Miocic, and then some of the other names on the card. Like, you like need a DeLorean to go back in time because a lot of these fighters and fights should have happened years ago. But yet, this is the day and age that we live in, the UFC era that we're a part of, the Jake Paul reality that exists, and so we have arrived. But it is a major combat sports weekend for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's start on Friday. So tonight, we're recording this on Friday. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, we might sound stupid, depending on how we go in this fight. But Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, it was delayed a little bit because of Tyson. And so this is actually happening. It's on Netflix tonight. If you have Netflix, you don't have to pay anything extra for it. It's just there for you. Jake Paul is a minus 245 favorite. Mike Tyson is plus 195. I saw a book expert, I guess. I don't know what his official title is, from Vegas, say that this, they're getting 10 times the bets on this fight than they are for Jones and Miocic that's taking place tomorrow. Now, he did say we expect a ton more bets to come in on the UFC on Saturday because that's usually how it goes. But leading up to this fight, 10 times the bets they are getting on this fight than they are in the UFC for this weekend. And he said, without a shadow of a doubt, the sports books absolutely need Jake Paul to win this fight.
Yeah, I mean, the public money is hammering Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And obviously, that is no surprise. Mike Tyson is a beloved figure, whether it be, you know, for someone like my age, who's, you know, 43 and remembers when Mike Tyson was the heavyweight champion of the world, or like, you know, people that are younger that like know him from The Hangover, right? You know, as an actor.
I think that there's also a third segment too. I think you might know who Mike Tyson is, but you might just fucking hate Jake Paul.
Well, that's the other thing too. People hate Jake Paul.
Like, that's a third. I think that's a third segment that, regardless of who, yeah, Mike Tyson helps, but they just want to see Jake Paul get his ass kicked.
They just want to see get his ass kicked. And so, and look, I know that like you don't pay for any of the fights. I do, but like, it's on Netflix, so like, you know, and everybody has Netflix.
Oh, I would not be paying for this fight, but since it's on Netflix, exactly. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Either would I. But I'm going to watch it tonight if I'm awake, because I'm afraid that, like, you know, this fight card starts at, I think, 7 o'clock East, 7 o'clock Central.
Yeah, there are six fights. Yeah,
there are six fights before.
Well, hopefully they end early. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I mean, look, and here's the thing: like, two of them are like, legitimate boxing title fights, apparently. People know this, they listen to the podcast, if you listen for the first time, like, I don't handicap boxing. Yeah. I don't know it, but my advice is, and I hate it that I'm recommending this, but like, let the public money continue to come on and like Mike Tyson. The bet is Jake Paul. The bet is like, just the rules, 2 minute rounds, 14 ounce gloves. And what I can say, the analogy or the commonplace that I do believe exists within combat sports, and you know this when a handicap fights, when there is a significant age gap, and when you're talking about the older fighter versus the younger fighter, I think it's around 65 to 75% of the time in mixed martial arts, the younger fighter wins. And we are talking about not only an age gap, but a significant age gap between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, 3 decades worth of an age gap. And I think everybody wants, you know, yesteryear happening, Mike Tyson landing a bomb and really hurting Jake Paul or knocking him out. Just don't see that happening. So my advice for you, if you want to bet on this fight, it would be wait for that public money to continue to stream in on Mike Tyson. Because what you just said, Jake Paul, like,
well,
minus 225
favorite
right now?
Well, no, it's starting to flip now, because when I looked at this yesterday,
yeah,
Tyson was only plus 160 and Paul was like minus 230. And so now the money is coming in on Paul at minus 245 and Tyson's plus 195.
Yeah,
so
I mean, that's
shifting back towards Paul.
Yeah, and that's that sharp money. You know, that's like I think it's like 85% of the bets are coming in on Tyson, but you know, the odds don't reflect 85% on Tyson, because then he would be he'd be probably a favorite. But like the big six figure bets are coming in on Jake Paul, and that's why the odds are in and around where they were, or they're flipping just a little bit. But I think Paul via knockout, I think I saw at plus 140. I think that's a legitimate scenario. Either that or some sort of bullshit controversial decision. I mean, I don't have the contract in front of me. Like, is there a clause in there for an immediate rematch? You know,
well, the debate was there.
Me.
The debate was that whether or not there was a clause for a knockout either way.
Yeah. I'm going to be rooting for Jake Paul to get his ass kicked, get knocked out, see stars. But I just don't see that. I don't see that happening. I think Jake Paul is going to win the fight. And, win it probably in a situation where it's going to upset a lot of people because of, again, just how beloved Mike Tyson has become.
Yeah. I saw something that I kind of like. Jake Paul to be knocked down and win at 6-1 is something that I saw being floated around as a good bet.
Okay, and he's never been knocked down in his, in his career.
Yeah,
and this obviously is the hardest puncher probably he's ever fought. I don't know. I did compare, Fury, if not, or
I don't know. He got slapped yesterday and didn't flinch. So I mean, like Tyson slapped him at the weigh-ins, and I was like, oh man, he slapped him. Let me watch this video. And I was like, this dude didn't move.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. So, and again, you just don't know how hard Tyson can go. And again, he's fucking 60.
Right? I know. I'm not putting any money on Jake Paul. I'm going to bet Tyson just because I want to see it. It's going to be a small sprinkle just so I have something to stay up for tonight. Yeah. It is the last golf day of the year tomorrow because the weather is definitely shifting.
Definitely shifting.
So I don't know how late I'm going to be staying up because I got to get up and play golf. Also, the baby wakes up at a certain time.
You could have that, the feeding, are you still doing the feedings at night? No,
she's two.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Like, exactly. So
but
like,
still, like, I don't, I'm not gonna, like, if I'm awake, I'll watch it. If not, I'll see the highlights first thing in the morning, because that's how it's gonna be everywhere.
Right. Totally situation. I mean, I was talking to somebody over at when I was just at the Carmen and Yurko live broadcast at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they're saying they're gonna sleep from, 6 to 9.
No, and then wake up
so they could like.
This isn't real. This isn't like Tyson in his prime. Maybe then, if that was the case, but no, I'm not doing that for this TikTok fight. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
Stupid. All right, let's get to the real event. This weekend, UFC 309, Madison Square Garden, finally upon us. John Jones, Stipe Miocic, we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's start with a prelim fight. We don't normally do this, but Chris Weidman against Eric Anders. This should be a good fight. Anders is minus 120 on the money line. Weidman is minus 104. So you're getting both guys at minus money here. This should basically a pick 'em, for lack of a better term, I guess. This should be a very good fight here late in the prelims of UFC 309.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, we want to see Chris Weidman perform for as long as his body's going to allow him to do so. He's a beloved former champion, the guy that knocked out Anderson Silva. The All-American, I Won't Back Down, is going to be blasting at Madison Square Garden as he walks to the octagon, draping the American flag over his shoulders. But Weidman now is 40. He hasn't been the same fighter since he broke his leg. So the athleticism is not there. Yes, he still has the background as an All-American wrestler at Hofstra to rely on, but his chin also certainly not the same. And Eric Anders, I want to talk about him also because for you, former Alabama Crimson Tide football player,
absolutely.
Guy that's dabbled between middleweight and light heavyweight, very good athlete, but also, getting a little bit longer in his mixed martial arts career at 37 years of age. I just don't think that Weidman's going to win a kickboxing match against Eric Anders, and I just don't think that Weidman's going to be able to utilize the wrestling that he's going to want to dictate against Anders, a guy that's got a 75% takedown defense, a guy that's going to be the bigger fighter, I think the more athletic fighter. So public money's going to come in on Chris Weidman. It could come fight night that Weidman becomes the, you know, the majority favorite. But either way, the matchup, I like Eric Anders in this fight. I just don't think Weidman's been the same fighter since he got hurt. He's 1-1 in those fights, but look lethargic. And look, Anders hasn't really beaten anybody of significance of late, but I don't think Weidman is of any significance of late. So Anders is a play for me for sure at that $1.20 price. Or if you want to wait around, maybe you get it at plus money as we get to fight night on Saturday.
All right, method of victory. The Vegas believes that this is going to the judges' scorecard. Anders by points plus 195. Weidman by points plus 200. So not much 5 cent difference there. Anders by knockout plus 420. Weidman by knockout plus 650. Did you just crack a beer?
No, I mean I already had a beer at the Carmen and Yurko.
It definitely sounded like you opened a can.
I did not.
And not the can then.
I flipped the notebook over.
Oh, okay. It definitely sounded like you popped the top off of something.
No. Look, I'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
Again, like we talked about, it's a late night. I'm going to have to start drinking heavily, but moderate it too.
Yeah.
And plus, like Zoe and Max have a bowling event tonight that I'm going to go to. It's like a school function, so I'm going to go to that first.
Yeah.
Then roll back in and start watching.
Okay. It wasn't a judging question. There's no judgment.
No.
There's no judgment. I just wanted to know what we're dealing with here. I didn't know we were getting the party started. Friday.
No,
all right.
Nothing for that.
Okay.
For sure. But
all right. So, do you think this goes the distance?
Look, there's a little bit of me that says maybe Anders could land something. Weidman's chin is certain gone, but if you want to be on Weidman's side, I think he wins the fight via decision. So, if you're on Chris Weidman's side, turn that dollar four to plus what'd you say, plus 200 for him to win via decision. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a good play, but I like Anders and. I think Anders just straight up on the money line to win the fight is a safe play.
All right, we go to the main card here. Vidian Araújo and Karin Silva. Silva minus 300, the favorite. Araújo plus 235, the underdog. Araújo is 2-4 in her last six, whereas Silva is 4-0 with three finishes to start her UFC career. And she got a unanimous decision win over Ariana Da Silva last time out, pushing her overall win streak to 9. So this should be a good fight, but Silva here the favorite here at minus 300.
Yeah, and a good test for Karin Silva. You know, Vidian Araújo, has, a little bit longer in the tooth. Now she's 37 years of age, has been in there with better fighters, has a victory over Andrea Lee, but lost to Alexa Grasso, lost to Amanda Ribas, lost to Natalia Silva, but has a victory over Jennifer Maia. Probably going to want to look to take this fight to the ground, but I think she's going to struggle to do so. Karin Silva, the fact that she's got power, she's got better striking, I think is going to be on display for her. I get why she's a $3 favorite, but I think Silva certainly into our parlay as we build that for UFC 309.
All right.
But I think that just looking at who Arujo's been in there with, and the fact that she's been in there with better competition, but the better competition, even Caitlin Chookagian, Grasso, Ribas, Silva, all going to the judges' scorecards. She, has only one knockout loss in her mixed martial arts career. The other losses have been all via decision. So we're going to throw Silva in into our parlay for sure, but also Silva via points. This fight's going three rounds, going to the judges' scorecards.
All right, Silva via points is plus 110 on FanDuel. Araújo by points is plus 340. Silva by submission plus 370. And Silva by knockout plus 750.
Yeah, I think safely again, I just don't see a finish coming. I think this fight's going to be three rounds on the feet, three rounds of Araújo trying to get this fight to the ground, probably not getting successful, and Silva not playing around with Araújo on the ground. Just keep her standing up. Maybe she gets a couple of knockdowns, maybe a 10-8 round in there, but I think a unanimous decision victory is in the cards for Silva on this fight night.
All right, our next fight should be a quick one. Bo Nickel against Paul Craig. Bo Nickel minus 1,300 to beat Paul Craig. Paul Craig plus 730. I just looking at Bo Nickel, the method of victory here by knockout is minus 125. So
yeah,
this is a fight that I think they think is going to end quickly.
Yeah, I think it's a showcase opportunity for Bo Nickel. He's been kind of, moderately strung along here in his UFC mixed martial arts career. He's been pegged as a future title challenger, maybe even champion at middleweight. This is the next logical step up in competition. He's not known for being a striker. He's more known for being, you know, his wrestling, his top-heavy game. But Paul Craig, certainly known for getting into a firefight, getting knocked down, preferring to get knocked down so then he could bring the fight to the ground where he lives his best. But I think, you know, the guard that Paul Craig showcases, it's intimidating. Look, it broke the arm of Jamahal Hill. We've talked about the Bear Jew before on this podcast. We've liked to play him a lot as an underdog, but not at this price, not against a guy as talented as Bo Nickel. So I'm in agreement with you. I think the Bo Nickel knockout, probably knockout in round one, win in round one, but I think ground and pound is going to happen. He's going to hurt Paul Craig on the feet, follow him to the ground, and get him out of there in relatively quick fashion.
All right, so like I mentioned, Bo Nickel by knockout minus 125, Nickel by submission plus 210. The rest are too crazy to mention here. I'm trying to find
Well, look at the total. I mean, the total is also actually pretty interesting. The total for under a round and a half is only $1.86.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, Bo Nickel, again, Bo Nickel, at some point, fighters realize there are eyeballs on me. I need to make a name for myself where people are going to want to start to see me perform. And
yeah,
what better way to do it? I mean, there's a reason why this is the third to the co-main and the main card. You know, Paul, and with the odds that they are. I mean, they want to showcase, the UFC wants to promote Bo Nickel in a middleweight division that is with Dricus du Plessis and Sean Strickland fighting likely for the title, with Khamzat Chimaev fighting, you know, probably for the title. We need contenders and guys. Kyle Barajo, another guy that's looked at out of the Fight Nerd fight camp, love that fight camp. So, yeah, Bo Nickel's got to shine in this one.
All right, Bo Nickel by knockout in round one is plus 210. And Bo Nickel by knockout in round two is plus 490.
I like the round one.
Okay.
I like the round one. I think this is early. This is easy. Let's not get cute with it. So Bo Nickel, caught by KO, the under, and in round one. All right.
Sounds good. All right. Our co-main event that you just alluded to is Charles Oliveira against Michael Chandler. This should be a great one. Michael Chandler has been waiting for Conor McGregor for what seems like a decade. So this is interesting. This is his third time fighting at Madison Square Garden, Michael Chandler. He's plus 200, plus 205, actually. The underdog, he's 0-2 in Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He hasn't fought since his loss to Dustin Poirier 2 years ago because he's been waiting for Conor McGregor. So a ton of rust on him, essentially. And he's also 0-2 at Madison Square Garden, like we mentioned. Charles Oliveira, he's 1-2 over the last 2 years. I mean, we've kind of seen him, you know, look good, but then lose these fights. So now 1-2, but he's minus 260 on the money line.
Well, because we've seen this fight before.
Mm-hmm.
They fought, and, you know, yeah, Michael Chandler did hurt Charles Oliveira in that first fight, in that first round. Everybody seemingly hurts Charles Oliveira in the first round of their first fight, and then Charles Oliveira comes back, dissects the game plan, and gets the finish. So I think, like a lot of us, including myself, thought that once Charles Oliveira fought Islam Makhachev for the UFC lightweight championship, did not look great in that fight, got submitted in the second round, like that he was done. Like, this, okay, Charles Oliveira, like, fantastic, but like this is kind of the swan song for him, and he's going to go off into the sunset and a future Hall of Famer. But then he stops Beneil Dariush, Beneil Dariush was on a meteoric rise and probably next in line for the lightweight championship. Stops him in the first round. Then he takes on Armin Sarukian in a title eliminator, and granted, UFC 300, and granted, we were on the Oliveira side of that fight, but like, arguably, he did win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and it was a split decision victory for Sarukian, who, is now fighting for the championship. So there's nothing on me that believes that Charles Oliveira is done or, you know, is not the same type of fighter. Excellent Muay Thai, you know, great recovery, good cardio, and probably the best submission artist, and absolutely a prolific finisher. Like, you know, we were talking about, we'll probably get to Shavkat Rakhmonov, who is 100% finishing rate, 18 mm-hmm. wins, all finishes. I mean, This dude has 34 wins. 31 of them are Finnish, does Charles Oliveira. Then, yes, you get to the Michael Chandler side. So Michael Chandler, as you alluded to, been waiting around trying to book this Conor McGregor fight. It never came to fruition. This guy, you know, 2 years removed from his last competition, also planning for that fight at welterweight. Now, he looked fine on the scale here on Friday morning when he weighed in, but that's a little bit of a mind game. You know, the fact that he was prepping his body, maturing it to 170, now goes back down to 155. He also has some of, if not the worst defense in mixed martial arts history. This dude gets hit all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And that is why he, you know, he has been stopped in these high profile fights, because he's taking on killers. He's taking on people that will expose that scenario. So what am I getting at? Well, gosh, Charles Oliveira to win the fight is minus 245. Charles Oliveira to win inside the distance is just minus 200. Because again, speaking to, like, he doesn't go five rounds and win fights. He finishes people. So I think Charles Oliveira is going to win the fight. I think he's going to get a submission win.
Okay.
So let's go plus 240 or plus 140, I think it is, at FanDuel for him to get the win via submission. Yeah, so he's going to win the fight.
All right, so I'm putting money line into the parlay. And then okay. I'm going to do by submission at plus 150.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, look, and granted, like, Michael Chandler could land something and then, like, wisely, like, follow Oliveira and just get him out of there and know, like, he can't allow Charles Oliveira to recover. And Chandler does hit hard. And the last thing to go, as we were talking maybe with Mike Tyson, like, earlier, like, the last thing to go is power. That is for sure. But, you know, I just can't trust Michael Chandler in this high-profile fight in Madison Square Garden against a killer like Charles Oliveira. So I like Michael Chandler. And look, Oliveira, I don't know what his mindset is, what he's thinking too, but quite frankly, like, Oliveira runs through Chandler or beats Chandler, why wouldn't Oliveira call out McGregor again? He's called him out before. Oliveira maybe not thinking about titles anymore. He's thinking about, like, money fights and high-profile fights.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden, he's got his soapbox. Go up there and call Conor McGregor.
Absolutely, he should. So, all right. So, Oliveira, money line is in our parlay. We've got two fights in there right now. And then Oliveira by submission at plus 150 to our picks. All right. Our main event. John Jones hasn't fought in about a year. He suffered that torn pec in a run-up to a fight. So, he's been out. And he got that first round submission over Ciryl Gane at UFC 285, and we're now at UFC 309, so you can do that math if you want to. He is minus 650. This actually came down from earlier in the week. He was minus 700. So this has come down a little bit in the last few days, minus 650 still. An insane favorite. And Stipe Miocic here at plus 440. These dudes are old. They look dusty. I texted you yesterday. I know that Stipe Miocic is old, but he looked old. Like, he, yeah. And like, both of their faces, did you watch the press conference yesterday? Both of their faces, when Dana White said that the winner is going to have to either retire or fight Aspinall, were like, Miocic looks scared. Yeah. And then Jones wouldn't stop drinking his water and said, all right, guys, move on. I think they're both retiring, right? That's got to be what's happening.
I think that's
can
been
I
the
bet on that?
Since, yeah, I think that's yeah, probably a way to do it. I think that there's certainly a scenario where the right amount of money brings John Jones back for a fight against Tom Aspinall. But I think we've been talking about it for you and me for weeks, for months on this podcast. The next heavyweight championship fight is going to be Tom Aspinall and Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
That's going to be the one. And that fight will be bonkers.
Oh, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane. You know what might break me from buying pay-per-views? That,
yeah, exactly. Although Tom Aspinall has been saying since day one, like, the moment that fight's booked, he's shooting for a takedown, like, immediately on Alex Pereira.
Get his ass knocked out, okay.
Yeah, well, when we get to that fight, we get to the fight. Okay, so, man, this fight should have been happening so many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I've tried to...
They've also fought Francis Ngannou and Daniel Cormier combined five times. In,
like, yeah, and like Daniel Cormier making his predictions on the fight. Like, shut up, man. I can't that's a side note. I can't stay in D.C. All right. I was trying to find, like, the appropriate timeline, and you probably got one better. You're more creative than me, but I just go the mixed martial arts route. So the last time that we saw Stipe Miocic... Or since the time we saw him in the cage last
okay.
to now, Francis Ngannou knocked him out. Francis Ngannou couldn't come to an agreement with the UFC, fought twice in boxing, then went to PFL, won that heavyweight championship fight, and now has another fight likely booked with the ONE FC heavyweight champion. It's been literally 3.5 years since Stipe Miocic last competed. He's old. He's been retired. He's putting all his efforts now towards being the volunteer firefighter in Independence, Ohio. And I appreciate his service.
So
but now
weird.
He's coming back.
You're right. I respect the service, but like, it's so weird now, to be like at a fire. Like, imagine sitting around the firehouse and like, it's Stipe Miocic. Like, hey guys, I'm fighting in the main event in Madison Square Garden this weekend. I'll see you next week. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Who's got lunch order? Who's got lunch order?
Yeah.
I'll take care of it. Okay, so that's beside the point. And obviously, John Jones, you know, look, we should have seen this fight card a year ago, but he got hurt. So now we get it. So John Jones, like, body-like type, like, looked weird at heavyweight, but
he did. I thought he looked like his arms don't look as thick.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got a little, I don't want to say, like, a little spare tire, maybe.
But he looks better. He looked better yesterday, Friday, weighing in, or today, you know, for the fight, as he did against Ciryl Gane.
Yes.
Like, so he's kind of adjusted to being a heavyweight a little bit. And he obviously completely ran through Ciryl Gane, but I think a lot of it had to do also with Ciryl Gane and just the nerves. And, like, he just, deer in headlights, like, froze. And obviously, Stipe's been here, done that, greatest heavyweight champion we've ever seen. I think Stipe's going to really struggle with the length, because obviously John Jones still has that decisive advantage no matter what weight class he's competing at, to be able to negotiate that. He's going to have to get into the pocket. Although John Jones is not known as a knockout artist, he's obviously known as a prolific striker and is going to cause a multitude of issues likely for Stipe Miocic. And I do believe that if Stipe Miocic then negotiates through that and like is able to work the clinch or try and work takedowns, I believe that John Jones is the better grappler than him. Like, I even though, you know, Stipe definitely has always relied on his wrestling, I think Jones is just better, and he's more athletic and the proper training that he's been doing in preparation for this fight is good. So I worry about that with Stipe. And look, ring rust, I do believe it is an issue, and there might be a little bit of a feeling out process. One of the respected handicappers on ESPN, Ian Parker, he likes the over at 1.5 between Miocic and John Jones. I'm not going that. I'm searching for value. I think John Jones is also a guy that is all about himself. He's all about legacy. He's all about proving that he is the best of the best ever to do it. So for me, John Jones is hunting a submission on Stipe Miocic. So not only does he get the dominant win, the finish, but he does something that no one's ever done to Stipe Miocic before, and that's submit him. So I think John Jones via submission at plus money, I've seen it, any book ranging from plus 250 to plus 400, that's what I'm searching for. I think he's got 5 rounds to do it. He's going to look for takedowns because he's not a knockout artist, and I think that he's going to try and find it. Although it would be appropriate, now that I'm talking out loud to you, Abdallah, is the 12-6 elbow finish, because that's now legal, and maybe the one thing that forced him to have one loss on his mixed martial arts career, he looks to end his career with the 12-6 elbow.
Oh, God.
But that's movie theater shit. That's storyline stuff. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I think submission by Jones is the way.
Okay, so Jones by knockout, plus 135. Jones by submission, plus 220 on FanDuel. Jones by points, plus 430. And Miocic by knockout, plus 700. And everything else is ridiculous. So
yeah,
we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw Jones into our parlay. It's not going to add much, but we're going to throw him in there. Okay. So, I am going to go.
No, we haven't even gotten to it yet.
I know, I'm debating here.
Talking so loud.
I'm trying to find Jones via finish. And I'm so struggling to find
Jones inside
that.
The distance?
Jones inside the
minus
distance.
Minus 250.
Oh, really?
I got it on two books. Minus 250, minus 275.
Ugh, no.
Two different books.
That's not good enough. No, we need some value there. Okay. Because I know what you're saying about the submission, but like, the knockout. Is he going to do Stipe like that? I don't think he will. I'm going to go John Jones by submission as the prop of the night.
Oh, wow. You're going to be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jones by submission. I'm talking off mic because I'm writing. Jones by sub.
You're cracking a beer. That's what you're
I have a show to do tonight. it is Friday. Okay. At plus 220 on FanDuel. Okay. So this should be great regardless. And watch. I wish I could bet on retirement afterwards. You know? Like, do you think he does it right away or do you think he waits? Like, does he take the gloves off afterwards?
Here's the thing.
Like, or does he wait to see what the offer is on the money?
He's probably going to have to wait and see because, you know, Tommy Aspinall weighed in as the heavyweight replacement.
Well, you saw that he won't even do interviews with people that are associated with Aspinall.
Yeah, associated with him. Yeah, he can't bail out on one.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Dana White, as you said, like in the post, in the pre-fight press conference, is saying Tommy Aspinall's next. Tommy Aspinall's going to walk into the octagon. He's going to walk into the octagon.
Oh, can I bet on that?
Yeah, I'm sure you can bet on anything. Like, look.
You can bet on anything you want to, man. It's the MMA, baby.
And here's the thing, too, that's weird, all going back to Tyson, circling back. The parlay for Tyson and Miocic to win by knockout.
Oh, man.
It's 31-1. It's so small. It should be like 310-1.
Yeah, but see, a lot of people are betting Tyson by knockout because they want to see it, so the book isn't going to take that much of a risk on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then the double risk with Miocic to win by knockout.
I know.
That's not happening.
No, it's not. It's not. Okay, so our picks for this UFC 309. Anders Moneyline minus 120. Silva by points at plus 110. Bo Nickel by knockout at minus 125. Bo Nickel by knockout in round one at plus 205 in the under in that fight. Charles Oliveira by submission at plus 150. Jones by submission at plus 220 is not only a pick but also my prop of the night. And we only have three fights in our parlay. Silva, Oliveira, and Jones.
Yeah, so we're going to add Marcin Teixeira to that. So he's $1.48 right now and against Jannata Diaz. Or Denise, if you recall, was supposed to fight 2 weeks ago against Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, the kickboxer that came over from Glory. But now he's had 2 weeks to prepare, or less than 2 weeks to prepare, for like a top seven heavyweight that's like really good grappler. Marcin Teixeira has been knocked out before, but I don't think Teixeira's gonna beat around the bush. He's going to take this fight to the ground. And Denise like struggled to get up in his debut against Austin Lane. And that guy's not a grappler at all. So let's throw Teixeira, you know, into the mix.
Okay.
And I can't do our boy like this. Like I'm going to bet Jim Miller. Cause I just love Jim fucking Miller, but Damon Jackson probably wins that fight. So if you want to add a little bit of value, I guess we put Damon Jackson $1.84. But again, Jim Miller, you know, over 40, another guy. And like the other fights I'm looking at, like just the odds are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. So we'll throw Jackson in there if you want to. You don't have to. We're going to throw him in there. If this is how we lose, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
Because Jim Miller wins. Maybe I'll bet both. Maybe I'll bet two parlays.
Well, the thing is, if we lose that fight, everything else, I think, happens right after, so we could redo the parlay real quick.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll probably bet both parlays just to be safe, and who knows, you might win them both. So without Damon Jackson in there, it pays plus 256. With Damon Jackson in there, it goes up to plus 450.
Okay.
So Damon Jackson, Marcin Teixeira, John Jones, Charles Oliveira, and Karin Silva. That is the parlay. It pays plus 450 on FanDuel. Sign up today. If you're not signed up, FanDuel.com/Abdallah. If you want Jordan's picks, the rest of them, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them. It's a pay-per-view. There's going to be a bunch of picks. Go to FatJackSports.com and get signed up today. You can listen to Fat Jack on with Bleck and Abdallah every Thursday night. Check out that podcast, the ESPN Chicago app. And yeah, this should be a good one, and we'll be back next week. Hopefully with a little news dog, if we have it, so we can talk about the main event that should be announced for UFC 310 that will close out the year, ideally. It's not the final event, which I think we talked about this last year, because there's a fight night afterwards, correct?
Yeah, in Tampa.
Which is stupid. End on a pay-per-view. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, The Tampa card's actually pretty good.
No, I'm not saying it's not. Just flip them. Flip-flop them.
Just flip them.
End with a pay-per-view. Yeah, whatever. I'm not Dana White. That's why he's Dana White and I'm not. Whatever.
I'm just looking at this fight card right now. Sorry. Great audio. I'm reading.
That's okay. Talk. It's better than cracking a beer. Actually, it's not. Yeah. No, he's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Woodon ESPN 1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And like I said, we'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.